The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast comes to you with the Cats at 4-3 after the old Titanic struggle. It's more the sort of SSS Minnow sort of struggle, wasn't it? At GMHBA Stadium against the Dockers, the Cats. What?
SSS Minnow.
Yeah, remember that beast?
That was from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, the skipper and
Marianne.
And I always liked Ginger. Do you reckon she was?
Thurston Howell the third.
Yeah, Thurston Howell the third. Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. If there's someone in the family on the other side of my family and they have the same name, exactly the same name. So, and I refer to one of them as Thurston Howell the third. The turd. But anyway, look, the Cats are 4-3. It was a good game. The Cats didn't get the chockies and they were beaten by a pretty good team, I reckon, Kingy.
They were beaten by a good team. We got waxed because they reckon we didn't go hard enough on Mark Blitzarves, because I think I was the one that framed the question that you just got beaten by a better. Sometimes Geelong are going to lose at GMHBA Stadium to a team that is better than them. And guess what? They lost to a team that was that I think is better than them.
Yeah, I agree. And Cat fans are going to have to get used to it.
Yeah.
Because in 3 years' time...
They'll be losing more often than not.
They'll be losing more than they'll win. Yeah, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
We've just been spoiled. Yeah. Geelong fans can't handle the fact that they're a middle-of-the-road team. That's where they're at.
Yep. They were 4-3 this time last year and pulled off a six-game winning run either side of the bye to then really shore up a top-four berth.
What's their run now, GWS
in Canberra, St. Yeah. Kilda at Marvel.
More tough, yeah.
Back to back at home, Port Adelaide and Adelaide. Yeah, Doggies handy. At Marvel on a Friday night before playing before the bye, and then go to Perth to play the Eagles.
So they've got a reasonable run.
Yeah, yeah. Then they run into a little bit of a logjam of games that are a bit. Oh, then they get Richmond at the G, North Melbourne at home, and then Carlton on a. Well, I think will be. I would be shocked if it's not a Friday night at the G.
Yeah, so they've got a pretty, well, the
run's not bad, and they double up on West Coast, they double up on North Melbourne.
Yep.
They'll get Gold Coast in round 22 and Gold Coast in. Geelong will play finals. It's still bottom
100%
half.
100% they'll play
but
finals.
But it's still bottom half of the eight.
Oh, I've said it all along. I think they'll play finals. There's way too much talent to miss finals, but they're not going to win the flag.
No, they're not winning the flag.
Do you think, I'll frame this question.
Yep.
Do you think Geelong are closer to a premiership than Carlton?
No.
Hawthorn?
Yes.
St Kilda?
St Kilda haven't won a flag for a long time. I'm just wondering
do you think
I think they're still in front of St Kilda.
Sydney?
No.
Fremantle?
No.
Who else have we got?
Richmond.
Richmond are on the same stage as the Cats. They're on the downward. They've got a lot of older blokes and... They're in the same position. It'd be interesting to see what two paths those two teams take.
How do they both approach their... Different, though, because Geelong have been up for so long. Richmond were up for 5 years.
Yeah, they have. But right now, I think they're in a very similar position. They've got a lot of blokes who are not going to be there in 2, 3, 4 years' time.
Oh, yeah. The disappearance of talent off the Richmond list is very, very confronting.
Well, so is Geelong.
Yep.
It's the same.
Oh, yeah, and we've spoken about that. We're aware of that. But the Richmond one is
So it'll be really interesting to see over the sort of next period how both clubs approach that.
Yeah.
And what they do, whether they, you know, they put the white flag up, so to speak, and go down and drop and pick up some draft picks, or whether they just keep trying to make themselves relevant by getting in these recycled players who, I don't know, there seems to be an air of irrelevance about being relevant in some respects with Geelong.
Yeah.
And I think after losing, you know, on the weekend, look, it was a good game. They're a good side. I mean, they kept the Geelong, 5 goals after the quarter time. Mm. That's a pretty good effort at GMHBA. And the conditions were actually pretty good in the end after the weather. They're very well drilled.
He's a ripper, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very good.
As a coach.
Yeah, I think, he's got them up and about, playing well and believing in themselves.
I had a chat with somebody connected to the Cats about him, and they're a massive rat for him too in terms of he's got a really good rep.
He's got a good way about him too.
Yeah,
really, I think he has a good relationship with the players.
Yeah,
and yeah, he's got them purring. But I just wonder, you know, Kingy, Geelong are just sort of, they're going okay. They're sort of 4-3, middle of the road. That's about where they are. They'll beat some teams and they'll probably play finals.
They've got to go 4-1 though, I reckon, through the next five,
which they probably can do,
yep,
if they play well. I mean, yes, last week they lost by 3 points. They didn't lose by 50 goals.
I know, that's what I mean. I think a lot of people, like the vitriol towards the Cats because they got beaten at home by Fremantle, which is not a common occurrence. I think it was the fourth time the Dockers had beaten Geelong there, was pretty, you get a emotive reaction.
You do. And the thing that I was thinking about is that, you know, you watch Jordan Clark play, 24 touches, plays across half back. Geelong lost him because they're trying to play him out of position. The other factors than that, I get that. I'm not sure he was the most dedicated player after his good first year when he played in defence.
He was the first to admit, and I've said this before, I spoke to him when he got back from Perth, and he said, I probably haven't come back.
But there is, when you've got a player like that, there's plenty of talent to work with. You don't play that first good year by fluke. You've got talent there. It's up to the club to get that out of him. Now, they lose Jordan Clark because there's no spot for him. They lose Nathan Kruger because they go and get Jeremy Cameron. And I'm not saying not to go and get Jeremy Cameron, but the byproduct of getting all these players in is that you are losing players.
The one opportunity.
That are going, and this is, I mean, at the moment, Cooper Stevens is not getting a game, but Delhouse and Sean Higgins are.
Yep.
This is where it's all going to fall in a hole at some point, because these younger kids aren't going to get any experience, or they're going to nick off in the case of Kruger and Clark.
Yep.
And then when these other guys come in, these guys are going to be so inexperienced that it's so I don't know. I just think that it's a really difficult one, but I think Dalhouse's time's up in footy. Unfortunately, everybody's time comes. Geelong need to play some younger players, and Sean Higgins finds enough of the ball. But I'd rather see Cooper Stevens in there and get 15 games under his belt.
Yeah, play him out.
But yeah, but they, the club won't seem to do that because they think that comes at the expense of winning.
Well, and the word I've used is tipping point. The tipping point hasn't come yet.
This is the problem, because they'll win enough games. I've said this 1,000 times. They'll win enough games to keep themselves relevant.
But they might not, Benny.
Well, if they lose this week, I mean, I think that would be, this is a big week.
Then they're 4-4. And then you're back right in the pack, and you're fighting for a finals berth. If you go to 5-3, then you give yourself that breathing room.
Yeah, and they'll just win enough to keep them, and to be able to keep themselves publicly relevant. Say, well, we're in the final, we're in the mix, we're in the eight, we can do X, Y, and Z, we've been there before, all that. Okay, great. And you can't disagree with that. But the end game is that let's put it this way, Hawthorn are picking teams not for the now.
Oh, no, they're picking for 2 years' time.
Yeah, they're getting games into guys and they're giving games above guys. That's why they said to John, we heard John Segler basically say, Sam Mitchell said, mate, there's no spot here for you. Yeah. We're not going to play you. Even if you're probably in our best 18, we ain't playing you.
No.
Why? Because they want to get a kid in.
Yep.
Geelong aren't doing that.
No.
So, and I just, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do at the end of this year, where they finish, how they approach it, where they go to the draft.
What does the skipper do?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one. And look,
so 17 players as we speak are out of contract.
I just think that, do you think that the sentiment, and we only probably hear a small sample size, you always hear the loud minority, so I get that. But do you think there's a little bit of sort of, how would you describe it? A little bit of frustration with Geelong fans that some of these young players aren't getting. I know they've got DeConning.
Well, we see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right though. Vocal minority.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's probably a very significant proportion of fans who are quite happy with what the Cats are doing.
Yeah.
And that, but they don't come out and say it because they don't have an issue. It's when you have an issue with something is when you say something.
Yeah.
So that's where, and you know, and maybe the feedback.
I agree with you. But the other thing too is, I think you made the point that, I do tire of, and not just Geelong, every club does it, But they just fashion arguments around whatever's happening at the time.
Yeah, well, it's
we had to get a body of work into Cooper Stevens. Yet Ollie, what's his name?
Yeah, but
he's
but,
played
but
about four
I did
minutes.
But I did ask that question, and the response was, well, they're playing different positions. And a spot opened up for Ollie Dempsey where one hasn't opened up for Cooper Stevens yet.
Did a spot open up, though? They just made one. I mean, they've got Myers, they've got Evans, they've got Dalhouse, they've got Stengel. A spot didn't really open up.
Well,
they
it
just
did.
Put
well,
him
it
in.
Did, because Dalhouse wasn't playing well.
Well, he's still in.
Yeah, but
he, then he had to
but,
play basically
but he wasn't,
the whole
but,
game.
But he would, yeah, he did have to end up playing a lot of that game. But sorry, this week's game. But the week before, they
put him in. Yeah,
yeah. So he was out of the side. He only played as the Medi sub, and he didn't play
because the old Medi sub.
So,
do you think they'll do make any changes this week?
Yeah. Don't
what happened in the VFL?
VFL boys, they won a very scrappy affair against Williamstown.
And how did some of these guys we're hoping might get a game?
Yeah.
How'd they go?
Stevens was probably the only one that we're really keeping an eye on that played. I think they only played about six or seven AFL listed players on the weekend. You know, Rowan came back.
And how did he go?
It was just
got through.
It was a training run for him. They were just playing him to get.
But he got through.
Legs, but he got through.
Do we have any possession? How many did Stevens have?
Stevens had early 20s, I think.
Yeah. What about Nick Stevens?
Nick Stevens was similar. I don't have it in front of me, but
and what about Neil?
Shannon Neil. Yeah, people were raving about his performance. Thought that
I
was
saw
okay.
One highlight when he kicked a goal on the run.
I think he can play a bit.
Yeah, I've said that since the first time I saw him.
He's one that he's not contracted for next year, and I think might even be the sentiment. Hurry up and get this bloke's signature on paper.
Well, if Hawkins and Cameron are there and they want to play him up forward, which is where they seemingly, I think, he's better suited, well, what's he going to do? And they've got Radigalia as well. He's thinking, well, hang on, how many more years? I mean, I know, and there's got to be a growth part to aspect to his development, so he can't just expect to get a game. I get that, but there also has to be a pathway, and this is the byproduct of what you know the Cats' philosophy. But if he left, that'd be a disaster. I feel
so
like.
Stevens had 24 disposals. Took seven marks, laid four tackles, had half a dozen clearances. Mitch Nevitt had 20 possessions, took six marks, four tackles, a couple of clearances. Nick Stevens had 14 disposals, took five marks, one clearance. Just scrolling down. Rowan had the six possessions, but he played limited game time. Shannon Neal had 11 disposals, took seven marks, and laid four tackles. That's not bad for somebody of his size. It was a really
ordinary sort of day.
Yeah, a couple of clearances in there, and he kicked two goals. So, look, where's the spot for him, though, at the moment?
Who, Neal?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think there is.
No, there isn't.
No, there's not. That's the thing. But, I mean, I'm not saying... And I haven't seen enough of him to know whether he's ready. I mean, it's all right to watch one highlight and go, oh, the kid's a star. Well, there's got to be a bit more than that. But so I don't know whether he's actually ready. But my thing is that if at the end of this year and he's not contracted, he's thinking, well, you know, where's my... I'm not from Victoria. We've got Radigalia, we've got Cameron, we've got Hawkins. And he's not getting a game at the minute above, well, certainly Cameron and Hawkins. Yeah. And Radigalia. I mean, if he's getting a game of Radigalia, does Radigalia move on? I don't know. But it's, you know, you've just got to have that sort of pathway. And Geelong at the moment are holding younger players back and developing them, which is great. But they've also got to see some progress. And I think if they're not at the pointy end of the ladder, I think it's... You got to get these younger guys in to see whether they're any good.
Yep.
That's the other thing.
So there were seven AFL-listed players played on
that's
the weekend.
That's it. Yeah. Jeez, they must have an injury list. It must be like a sort of a...
It's length. So this weekend, Dangerfield back will play AFL.
And what's happened to Henry? We don't know.
Henry is still day to day. They've got to get him to a point where he's moving without pains. There's no structural issue. There's a rod in the foot that he was stood on, and it's just a case of getting to a point where he can move without pain. And once he's free,
the old rod in the foot.
Yes. Once he moves without
pain.
Have
you ever had one of them?
Moving on, Benny, because you're an absolute imbecile. Hey, Benny, I want to talk to you about something, actually.
Oh, no,
you go. So, you're a very handy tennis player, as you're very quick to point out, with Meg McDonald on air.
No. I could, yes.
You could hit
played a lot of tennis,
You could hit a tennis ball.
A long time ago.
Yeah. Your parents weren't keen on you playing footy?
I played footy.
But you played, but they weren't keen on you playing?
No, they were keen.
They were happy for you to play?
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Is it true that you had a tennis tournament that you had to play... And to keep you sort of out of trouble in your game of football for Imperials? Did you play for the Imperials in the YMCA competition?
Yeah.
Is it true that they put you at full forward?
Yeah.
And you snag 13 one day?
Yes, correct.
And they came out and put two on you in the second half and they still couldn't stop
they
you?
They did. I kicked 13 snags. I played with Andrew Wills. At one stage in the game, we handballed the ball back to each other from the back line to the forward line. And Willsie kicked a goal. So, yeah, and I do remember that day. And my last, you know, funny thing is, King, I can't remember much about junior footy. In fact, my memory's pretty shot with most things. But my last snag was a barrel. And I was under 13s.
Playing down, so I probably playing went down about, at South Barwon?
Yeah, on the closest oval to the intersection.
Yep.
And the last goal, we used to play with blue footies, like these light blue YMCA footies.
Yep.
And the last goal was a barrel. And it went, like for a kid, I remember it just sort of started. It must have been kicking with the wind. Yeah, and it was just like, oh, we're on here. So,
somebody bailed me up in a...
Who was that?
Drinking establishment and said, do you know Ben Casanelia? And I said, unfortunately, yes.
Jeez, that must have a good memory.
And they said, I was there the day he kicked 13 for Imperials. He couldn't remember the team he played against. It might have been the Cougars.
I can't remember the team. They were wearing North Melbourne. We used to wear... I remember I played the under-11s. I played the Jaguars. We were purple and purple and gold.
Yep.
And then the Imperials, I reckon we wore Cats.
Right.
And we were playing North.
Yep.
I don't know who the North were, but we gave them an absolute pizzling. I remember that. And 13 snags lit up on the scoreboard. So, yeah, no, they were the days. Noel Wills was, I think it was our coach, Andrew's dad. I grew up next to Andrew. So, that was a... Who the hell?
No, I'm not... Somebody just bailed me up.
Someone out my age?
Similar.
Vintage. So played in the game?
Don't think they played in the game, but similar vintage. But just bailed me up and wanted to talk about you.
That is extraordinary.
I tried to move on the conversation.
That is like 38 years ago.
What, it was 1984?
Roundabout.
Yeah.
Used to love it.
Anyway, enough of your career.
Yeah.
So the Cats now turn to the Giants, who they played in the final last year in which wasn't much of a game of football.
And they tore Adelaide apart.
Yeah, Toby Green's back in form.
Yep.
Back in form.
And up there won't be easy.
No, not in Canberra.
Let's put it this way. I think I've watched a bit of GWS. I didn't see the Adelaide game, but I saw the result, obviously. But I've watched their previous probably three or four games. I saw them play against St Kilda. I saw them play against Melbourne. And did they play another game in there? I saw about three games. I think they're about your benchmark.
Did you see them play Fremantle?
No, I didn't see that.
Gold Coast?
Yes, I did see them play Fremantle.
Yep,
sorry. And Gold Coast. I've seen quite a bit of them for some reason. I don't know why. But they're the team, I reckon, the better teams will beat. And the teams that are struggling, they will beat.
Yep.
They're the sort of your quintessential eighth on the ladder. Yep. Eighth or ninth.
Yep.
So if you're any good, you beat them.
So they'll have a 12-10 record where they'll beat everybody they've beaten is the 10 clubs below them and they'll lose to the seven above them.
I reckon.
Yep.
Something like that. They'll bob up and beat the odd team above them, maybe. But I think if you're classifying yourself as a good team, you're beating them, regardless of where it is. So really good test for the Cats because they'll be a little bit up and about after their victory over the Crows, who had an absolute stink bomb.
They did. Their record is, some say it's actually pretty good at Marnica Oval. It's not fantastic, to be honest, because they've actually lost their last four there.
Yeah, well, St Kilda beat them.
St Kilda beat them. The Dogs and Melbourne beat them there last year. And then the game prior to that was the Snow game that Hawthorn beat them in 2019.
Was that when Clarko had his top off?
Yeah, and he wore the shorts just to say. It's not as cold as you're making it out to be.
No, it's a game that Geelong, you know, they need to win, but if they're any good, they will win. Mm. So it's a really good test coming off a loss as well. Coming off, you know, you always like to steel yourself, get back on the horse. It's not sometimes when you lose, it's how you respond. And this is a team that will make them beat them. But if you play well, they're beatable. So I reckon and they've got difference with the thing about GWS is they've got a really slick sort of midfield. Taranto, Ward's older, but he's playing well. Whitford, Kelly, Toby Green, Tom Green. He's a star.
Tom Green's a gun.
He's an absolute
star. But I could
have
told you that 2 years ago. He's got that great body shape.
He's enormous.
Yeah, he's just what
he's like an old Cortina. He's like a brown Cortina.
won't go.
You know the brand called teams, like, if you crashed into them, they didn't move.
No, they
and
were,
your car was just in a crumpled mess.
They were indestructible.
They were. He's a bit the same. He's very good, though. So they've actually got
you call him that in the call on Saturday night?
The brand called Cortina. Yeah, I will, yeah.
The Rex Gorel
we'll
brand called
Cortina. I'm not sure Rex is... Do you reckon Rex is selling a Cortina?
Well, he did once upon a time.
What about a Camaro?
Well, no, that was a Holden.
What about a Studebaker?
Studebaker.
Have you ever had one of them?
They're an American car.
Well, they are, right?
Yes, the Studebaker.
I thought they made them out at Ford there, didn't they? That wasn't a Ford?
No. Studebaker were a brand of their own. They're an American brand.
What about Porsche?
I don't think.
Anyway.
Yes.
No, look, so they've got a good midfield. We've always said this year, I think Geelong's biggest problem is the midfield. So, good test. Geelong will have a good defence and they'll have some forwards, but can their midfield match their midfield?
Yep. The ruck will be interesting. Reece Stanley's got that ankle issue. He's still a chance to play, but if he doesn't, with Segler down, Conway not right.
Neil in.
I think they'll go Radicalea and Blitzarves.
Probably right. I think if they've played Neil, that would be doing him a disservice if they've played him as a forward and they throw him in for his senior debut in the ruck. Yep. I reckon that'd be a disaster.
Yep. Howler 41 off the questions. Frustrating loss. Myers just has to be dropped. He likes the physical contest as much as I like non-alcoholic beer.
The old beer zero.
Surely Frank the Tank would offer more in that role. Higgins might have had 21 touches, but he's a selfish player. College Asney a liability when the ball on the ground. Cooper Stevens averaging 22 touches and 4 tackles in the VFL give him a taste. Shannon Neal showing very good signs. Mitch Nevitt also progressing well in the twos. Nevitt's a second half of the year player. Give him some time. I'd rather see Stevens or Nick Stevens, Nevitt, Dempsey make mistakes because they'll improve. Higgins, Dalhouse will not. Hawks loss will haunt as season goes on.
Yeah, I don't disagree with all that. I still in the Myers camp at the minute. I'm not.
Yeah, so am I.
I'd rather.
I'm not selling him yet.
Dalhouse has got to go out before Myers. Yeah. There's a lot more upside with Myers than there is Dalhouse.
Yep. Cats of the future. Things Cat fans can't seem to agree on. Was Higgins any good in the Dockers match? A good burst late, but that's about it. We have a grey zone, but no solid answers. Wasn't the worst.
No, he wasn't. He gets enough of the ball. He's smart enough and savvy enough to get plenty of...
Savvy. There's a word that's not used enough.
No. It's savvy. So he's all those things to... And he does enough, but yeah, I don't know. It's a catch 22. I would probably like to see somebody else in there and having a crack, or much as we love Sean, but it's time. It comes for everybody at some point.
Yep. Second and third look like Dockers toyed with us and worked out we can't spread, played us perfectly and made the ground big. We spoke about that during the call, how the Dockers made the most narrow ground in the competition appear like the widest ground in the competition. They seem to find space because their work rate was just impeccable.
Oh, they're good and they're well structured. I mean, they conceded those 5 early goals and then they only conceded 5 more for the other 3 quarters. So Geelong conversely struggled to move the ball. There was no flow into their forward line and Griffin Logue did a number on Jeremy Cameron. Jeremy Cameron just couldn't find any space. He didn't get the ball in dangerous positions at all, which, I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, he's a star, Jeremy Cameron, but he's not going to play well every week. Hawkins was okay, but Pearce and Cox are very good defenders. Yep. Very good defenders. And people who look down and think, Pearce and Cox, who are these blokes? They're very good players.
The issue with Pearce is we just haven't seen the best of him because of injury.
And Cox is right up there. He's a very, very good player.
Yep. Good in the contest.
He is. He gets in good spots. He takes a mark. They've got some really good players. Brayshaw, Sarong. What do those blokes have in common? High draft picks.
Yeah. Is it a concern that Tom Stewart is racking up 40 in the back half and also starting our attacks? Time
How
for
many of them were
kick
outs from full back, though?
Stewart?
Yeah.
What did they kick? They kicked 10-9?
So he's had 30 possessions.
Yeah.
No, nine of them were kicked
out. He wouldn't have had all 9.
No, Tui
kicked out a bit on the weekend.
Did he?
Yep.
Oh, Stewart played well. I'm not saying that, but I don't think that should be a stat. The kick out from fullback shouldn't be Gowie's stat.
No, but the issue is nobody's been able to reach. Well, it never was, but now that once you break the line.
Yeah, but if you kick the ball from fullback.
If you haven't kicked it to yourself.
Well, I don't care if you've kicked it to yourself or whatever you've done, but if you just run off and kick it, that shouldn't go down as a stat.
No, I reckon it was shared around between Stewart and
I'm not saying he didn't play well. I'm just saying I reckon overall that stat, that shouldn't be counted as a stat.
Okay. I'm going to ask this question, but Ben we know your thoughts, and we've had this discussion multiple times, and it's probably time to move on about Chris Scott. But do you think the Chris Scott dislike comes from him appearing as though he is the smartest person in the room? He may be. Tony Shaw smashed him on another station for his arrogance at responses to questions. He's a great spinner and rarely gives us a direct answer. Thoughts? So for those who don't know, he appeared on pre-game on 3AW. Tony Shaw has then made a comment, oh, I think, the next day about how he wasn't impressed with how Chris Scott answered the questions and treated those on air. And look, we've gone over this. If we were to go over this, we're going to
roll around.
I haven't heard it, no. And that's why I can't comment. But we, you know, Ben, we're well aware of your thoughts on Chris Scott, where it all sits. So, we'll move on. Because we're just going over old ground, and I think people might be sick of it. They know where we stand. Catch of the future, we've spoken about. Daz Broncos, as frustrating as dropping the beans on video poker at the Rio Casino and Bar, never quite hitting the big one, so you keep going and falling. Gamble responsibly, but not Benny's version. Exactly like watching the Cats play, frustrating. They turned it on late to no avail. Got to be consistent, and they aren't. Now the injuries are piling up, hard to watch. Hope no relation is okay. Well, that's a huge blow with Max Holmes.
Yeah, that's disappointing because he's the one of the younger players who's on the way up, and you know he's good to watch. And Geelong have probably yearned for players like he and sort of De Conning to come through and see that. That's why I think that Geelong could go down that path, and actually the supporter base would be supportive of that. But yeah, that is a big loss. He has got a few games under his belt, but particularly in the area of the midfield, they just don't have the cattle in the midfield at the minute, the Cats, and they get Dangerfield back, so that's handy, but yeah, not ideal.
And for the home gamers, don't stay at the Rio. Rooms are like when it was De Niro playing Ace Rothstein in Casino. Movie great, rooms horrendous. Oh. We must get Shannon Neal re-signed and fast.
I agree. That'll be really interesting to see what happens there. Yep. Have you heard any whispers?
No, I haven't heard anything. No. Must be number one mission as the WTA teams will be calling West Coast. We'll want to replace Nick Knapp. Yeah, we agree. Gents want to endorse Sam De Koning to the AFL and promote him for a chance to get nominated for a NAB Rising Star nom. I was surprised he didn't get last week.
Yeah, he's very, very, very good. I think they've got one there, certainly. His capacity to mark the ball and play with poise in the back half and have a calmness about the way he plays is fantastic. So they've got one building block there in defence. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see, you know, can Neil be the bloke at the other end?
Yep.
I'm not talking about this year or next year, but keep him, and then in two or three years' time, he's got 20 games under his belt and can come in and be the De Conning up the other end.
Yep. Same draft.
Yeah.
Hopefully come through together.
One's 204. I think Neil's 200.
201.
Yeah, so they're big boys. Then you've got Conway in the ruck.
Yep.
Can those... I mean, there's so much water to go under the bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can safely say De Conning is going to be a very good player, even after seven games.
Yep.
The other two we haven't seen. So, but if you could get a key defender, ruckman, and key forward, gives you something to work with.
Absolutely. That was Foxdog 50. Thank you, Foxdog 50. Cats. Hello, boys. Love the show. Huh. Is that your mum or my mum that's decided to
I'll send the fiver through.
I'm constantly irked by the fact our cats are made to wear the white shorts at GMHBA. Love to see the blue shorts, but it's a rare occurrence these days. I often joke with mates that the away shorts worn at home is the reason we lose games. I know I'm old school, but can we go back to coloured shorts at home, white shorts away? It's not that simple. It all comes down to colour contrast.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's not something I've ever thought about.
No,
ever.
But that's why it is. And I've said this before on air. It's simple as Geelong's jumper is predominantly white. Put it with the white shorts, and then you put Fremantle, as on the weekend, you put them in purple, and that's what the TV want. They want the colours to be distinct.
Yeah.
So that's as simple as that. But cats, do appreciate you giving us that message. Benny, we'll get out of here because we've recorded this between race 3 and race 4 on the Wednesday of the
World
Carnival.
Oh, what
a day
it was yesterday. Wild racing. 5 winners. Yeah. It's extraordinary.
So, now, if you've got anything written into your contract, then when there's a day like that BCAS and you'll see some of the following stuff.
I wish, because that was a very, very exciting day. 5 winners is sort of... it's unprecedented. I think Rick McIntosh said, "Strike me pink," when the fifth winner got up as I please. So,
yeah, well done.
Yeah, no, it was a really exciting day for our stable. So, looking forward to got a couple in if the punters want to get involved.
But it'll have to be Thursday because they won't hear this until...
Yeah, it'd be Saturday in Adelaide.
Oh, for Saturday.
We're taking two over to Adelaide.
You're right.
And I'd be investing each way on both of them.
Okay, they are.
Cirilio Miss in the Queen of the South States.
Which is a good horse.
Yeah, she is a good horse. She's in out to a mile.
She's a good horse. She'll go all day.
She will. And the other one is called Mask Up in a Benchmark 64, 1200 Craig Williams aboard. We'll run a decent sort of race. Both of John Barry's six.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.